This morning, as Eric's going to be talking about a little later today, I do have a couple of teenage kids and one younger one. And ironically, the youngest one was the one I thought of all kids, she'll come with me up here today. Apparently, getting up early and just turning around and going back home at the end of the day was not enough of a draw for her. So she denied coming up here. She says, really, we have to get up at 6 on Sunday? So, sorry, it's just me. There's about 6 things going on this weekend, and apparently we're in charge of a bunch of them. So that's how it works. This morning we're going to talk about faith and hope, and mostly faith, but with that faith, what the hope that we have is. We're going to use a little interaction, so it's okay to interact with me. I'll let you know when it's time, because if you do it out of time, I will just ignore you. There is going to be a little bit of that. First, I want to check what everybody thinks. This is an interaction part. What is the definition of faith? What do we know the definition of faith to be? Okay, I heard a few people, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which is something that I believe has been ingrained in my brain since I was a little child. That's, Hebrews 11:1. So we know the verse, we understand it. The dictionary definition, and thankfully it was the first one up there, so I didn't have to, weed it out to get the right one that I wanted. It's confidence or trust in a person or thing. Really, it actually jives perfectly with Hebrews 11:1. We trust and we have the confidence that trust is based on something. So it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have it all right here for us in the scripture. All we have to do is pay attention and follow it, and everything will go as God planned. And this is something that we know that we cannot have a lack of. We can't take faith lightly. And I think, having grown up in the Sunday school, growing up in the meeting, it's easy to hear these verses and hear the words and just say, oh, yeah, I have faith. I have faith. It's there. But we can't. We must have faith. It's not an option. It's not something we can just assume we'll have. We absolutely have to have it. Without that faith, we cannot follow God in the way that it was intended. And we see a lot of people throughout Scripture. I have a few examples of ones and that had great faith. We look at them throughout Scripture. We read about them in Sunday school, so even the kids will know some of these. But again, here's the interactive part. Who can you guys name? And trust me, if I don't have it on my list or I don't have it up here, I'm just going to ignore you and pretend like I didn't hear you. So don't be offended. Just know that you know something I don't know. So, all right, give me a couple of examples, and I'll pick them as they come up, of people that had great faith in Scripture that you can think of, ones that you want to hear about. Abraham, all right. Abraham, we know, and that was on my list. So, yeah, Abraham, and Abraham is one of those ones where, I'm only going to pick one little part of these out, because obviously some of these had lots of different things that came up. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. All right. It doesn't get a whole lot bigger than that. For those of us who are parents, there may be days when we say we want to, smack them or something. Or maybe that's just me. I don't know. Eric will talk about it later again. It is something that you cannot take lightly. He was willing to sacrifice his son. And his son was willing to do whatever his father had needed. Because they had a common goal. They had the faith that with whatever was going to go on, they knew that God had a plan. And we don't need to know the exact end of his plan, but we need to know that he has a plan for us. And we kind of deal with it as it comes up. And Abraham, I guarantee you that was not the top thing on his list. I would like to think that he pleaded with God saying, okay, is there anything else? Because, I'll do anything, but maybe something different than this? Because I put myself in Abraham's shoes, and that would be a test of faith that I'm not ready for yet. But that is a huge test of faith. I'm sure my son's not ready for it yet either. So, all right, any other ones? Pardon? Noah, right. Noah is one of my favorites. All right, Noah. It's just crazy to think about. He did what God told him to do to the T. And we know had he not done what God told him to do, he would have been like the rest of the people and they would have died. All right? He built this big, huge ship. Not a little tiny boat, not, you know, something that we see, you know, a huge, huge ship out in the middle of the desert. There was no reason for a boat out there at all. But he did it because God told him to. He was mocked. He was told he was crazy. People would sit there, what are you doing? This is insane. His own family who followed him, you know, he was on the fence. You know, maybe they could have betrayed him just as easily as they followed him. You know, I know if my dad, if we lived out in Arizona, and my dad decided he was going to build a ship, I'd look at him and go, have fun, all right? Come on, help. No, Dad. You know, crazy's all sold out. You seem to have bought it all, you know? So, you know, there's no, you know, it just doesn't make sense. But he knew that that's what God had asked him to do. God said, build this ark and do this and get all these animals. I mean, obviously God was involved in all this because you think about, he didn't have the equipment that we have today to machine down the wood. You know, he had to do everything by hand with his family. I mean, these are things that you can't just assume it was an easy task. But yet Noah did it because he knew that if God says do this, and I better do it. Because he had faith that God had a plan. And I'm sure he sat there going, God told me to build this ship. I'm not exactly sure why. He says it's going to rain. I haven't seen it, you know, not like that. So I'm going to do it anyhow, because that's what's important. Any others?
David,
right? I'm not going to talk about David, but thank you.
Joseph,
yep. And I'm gonna name a couple other ones. And the reason I'm not picking some of those is because I don't know that I could condense it down into a small little paragraph. Not that I do that anyhow, but I'm going to try. Daniel's another one, you know, for those kids. You know, everybody remembers Daniel in the lion's den, all right? But Daniel, and this one is appropriate, I think, to me today, because Daniel stood up for his beliefs. He knew that what he was going to do and what he believed was contrary to the majority of those around him. And it's something that, you know, as Eric is going to approach on, and I wish I didn't have to drive back to San Diego tonight, but, you know, Daniel stood up in a time when standing up for God was not necessarily an easy task. And it's just like what we deal with today. Our kids deal with it today. You know, we have to stand up for what we believe is right. Because we know that if we don't, if we give in to the world around us, that they're going to just condense us down to nothing. And Daniel stood up knowing that he could be killed, and he had those that followed him. Had he not stood up, the others that also stood up with him probably would have, you know, they may have stood up, maybe they wouldn't have. But he was a leader. He was somebody that was an example to those around. All right, we look at Lot. All right, somebody who lost everything, and I mean everything. And yet he still followed God. He still had faith that, you know, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why I had to lose everything, including my children, but I have faith that whatever it is, you know what's planned. You know what's going on. And that's a hard one to accept. And it's a hard one for a lot of people to accept. When there's loss involved, now all of a sudden it's personal. Yet Lot stood up. So, I'm sorry. I was, Lot fled from Sodom. I'm messing up my stuff. I should read my notes. And then we have Paul. Paul, somebody who was willing to preach no matter what. He preached to all those around him, preached the gospel, knowing that he could be killed for it. Knowing that no matter what, he was going to do what God had asked him to do. He was stoned, he was beaten and imprisoned. None of those deterred him for what he was doing. And we see that even in this world today. You know, places, I mean, I think we take it for granted living here in the United States. You know, we have the comfort of being able to hold a public lecture, inviting the people in, with no regard for the fact that anybody, we know nobody's going to get hurt for it. But yet there's so many places around the world today that still, to this day, if you went out with a Bible in your hand, you're taking a chance of being killed. That's a pretty great testament. And I think a lot of times we get numb to what it's like to live in that freedom. But that's something that Paul did, knowing that he was going to stand up for what was not the popular subject at the time. And we look at those who had a lack of faith. You know, the list is still large, unfortunately. And these are people that had a lack of faith, to their detriment, some of them to their death. Lot's wife is one that, you know, she just couldn't leave. She couldn't leave things behind. She couldn't flee from Sodom and Gomorrah. She didn't want to leave that world that she loved so much. And unfortunately, we know that, you know, she unfortunately died because of that lack of faith. All she was told to do was don't look back. Lot and his family, they kept on going. And she looked back. She couldn't give it up. Jonah. Now, Jonah did do eventually what he was asked to do, mostly. But Jonah had huge lack of faith in what God had said, because it wasn't what he wanted to do. It wasn't going to be easy. And he kind of caved in. And we know that with him, he was swallowed by the great fish. You know, he was taken in. Now, granted, he was given a second chance. And that's something that I think that a lot of times we need to remember about God, is that God is all about second chances and third chances and fourth chances. You know, that's the beauty of having a God with the grace and the love that he has. And Jonah eventually did what he was asked to do. But during that time of his lack of faith, he paid for it. And then we have Peter, you know, who unfortunately betrayed Jesus. He had three opportunities to say, yes, I know him. He's Jesus the Christ. He's the Son of God. He was given three opportunities, and three times he was unwilling to stand up for what he believed. For whatever reason it was, he just couldn't do it. And those are things that we look at in Scripture that remind us that we have to have faith, because we know the alternative of not having it. We know from Scripture that faith is an absolute, like I said, an essential part of what we must have in our daily lives. If we want to make it through every day, we must have that faith. One of the things, though, that I do like to see, and that's when you see the other options and the second chances and third chances, is that today maybe I'll have a lack of faith, but tomorrow I wake up and I can start all over again. That moment I can ask God for forgiveness and ask him to help me in my faith. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11, if you can look that up. This is a popular verse that we mostly know, most of us will know. And again, it just reiterates the need for faith. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So it's not okay just to have faith. We have to know why we have that faith. Because we must have faith, and we must believe that God does exist and that he is going to reward us. God watches over every one of his followers, all of his children. And he watches us through all the examples, you know, or all the things that we do, all the things in our lives. And he picks us up when we fall. And he carries us across that line when we need to be carried. But it can't be a one-way street. You know, and those of us who are parents, we kind of can relate with the way God would be. You know, when my kids do something wrong, no matter how many times I ask them to do it right, and I know they know it's supposed to be done right, and they do it wrong, it's frustrating. And it gets, you know, pretty tedious at times. And that's the same way God, I think, feels with us when we fall, you know, and he's just like, come on, how many times do I have to tell you? I've told you this so many times. Let's do it. Let's go again. You know, let's get going. And he picks us up. And if we have that faith in God, he's going to always be there to pick us up. And one of the things that we need to think about a couple of questions that we can ask is, are we willing to give up this life for one that is better and eternal? Are we willing to give up everything around us for God's life that he's willing and giving us? It's there for us. We just have to do what we need to do to take it, to partake of that. Now, there are days when this life would be a lot easier to give up than others. We've been through some fires down in San Diego a couple times. We've had to evacuate our house, and I was glad to know that I was able to just leave with my kids. It was a pretty amazing feeling because I didn't think I could do it. You know, I watch all these other people loading up their motorhomes, loading up the, you know, all the sand toys into the trailers, and, oh, yeah, we got to evacuate. I need to get all my stuff. You know, I mean, we literally left with a box of paperwork and the kids. And the kids actually didn't even have any clothes because we didn't have time. All right, so it was their pajamas. And that was one of those times when I'm like, huh, I think I could do this. You know, there's other times when I'm like, ooh, I need all my stuff. So, you know, you're on the fence. But we need to have faith that no matter what, God's going to provide. And that was kind of the feeling, is we knew that we didn't have to worry about it. We had what we needed. And would we be willing in this crazy world that we live in? And I think every day, I like what Jeff said this morning, because I listen to the news. I drive a lot. I listen to the news because I guess I'm a glutton for punishment. And this world is absolutely crazy. There's so many just different things going on, you know, with the politics especially. And there's times when, yeah, you know, I could leave this world, no problem. But would I be willing to stand up for what I believe in this crazy world? You know, because standing up for God is not as easy as it used to be. Rick and I were talking a little earlier, you know, that people in this world just don't get it. You know, that there's something outside of going to work and making money and sports and things of that nature. They don't understand that there is a hope greater than the one that they have. And it's our duty to our Lord and Savior to stand up in this world, to be known that we are the ones that are following God, and come with us. You know, please follow us. Or are we going to be like Peter? And every time we're given that opportunity, say, nope, I don't know him. I'm sorry, you know, you got somebody different. And that's where we have to draw that line. And more so, talking about politics, you know, do we depend on the leaders of this country to get us through our day-to-day lives? You know, do we depend on the leaders of the world? You know, I think it's pretty safe to say that there's not a whole lot you can trust there. You know, whereas with God, we know what to expect. We've been told what's going to happen. And as you look throughout history, the older I get, the more I see it. You know, my parents kept telling me, and now I'm seeing it. You know, the things that happen in this world, it's right here in the Scripture. And it's happening now. But I've had this Bible a long, long time. It was printed before it happened. So that's the things that we see. We can put our hope and our faith in God, because his plan is being fulfilled as we see. Let's look at James chapter 2, and there's a couple of verses in James. James is my favorite book of all. James chapter 2, and verse 17 and 26. And we'll look at verse 17. This is out of the New English Translation. So also faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being by itself. And verse 26, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So here we're told, okay, faith, not just enough by itself again. We actually have to have works. So we can't just sit on our hands and say, well, I have faith in God, and I know that, you know, what he says is going to happen. We not only have to believe that, then we have to do something. You know, I've never seen somebody make a lot of money in business by just having the greatest idea in the world and never doing anything about it. I've got some million-dollar ideas right here. Oh, I don't want to share them. I don't want to do anything. I mean, that's too much work. Well, there are going to be a lot of million-dollar ideas then that just don't go nowhere. And one of the things that the kids, you know, none of the teens are here, so, you know, they've heard this a million times. Anytime I speak to them, I seem to say it, I guess, as I've been told by my son. We might be the only Bible that anybody ever reads. This is something my dad told me when we were younger, something I continue to tell my son, so he'll now say it because I've said it to him so many times. But it's true. Going out of here, you know, we think about our group that we have, and it's wonderful, but when you go outside of our normal circle of friends, there's not a lot of reading the Bible going on. There's not a lot of every evening, you know, sitting around as a family and reading the Scripture. That doesn't happen. Not on a grand scale. When we go out to work, we are preaching every moment of every day. By not saying something, not getting involved in a conversation, or by saying something. You know, by standing up for what we believe. We are the only Bible that a lot of people will ever read. And that's a huge weight to bear, but not nearly as heavy of a weight as some of the others that we looked at in Scripture. And definitely not as much of a weight as Christ. He bared the ultimate weight. He stood up when it was not popular, for exactly what he believed, because he knew that that was his Father's will. That was what he was asked to do. So when we go out in this world, and we'll be going out, you know, later on, well, for some of you it sounds like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock when you're done with lectures. So Monday, we're going to go out in this world. We need to let our light shine. You know, we're told to not hide it under a bushel. You know, every time I say that, I think of the little song, you know. But we need to let it shine. We need to get up there and be bright so everybody can see. And you want to be welcoming. We want them to come and ask us questions and talk to us. But at the very least, we want them to see that we are following God and that God has a plan. And it's much better than the plan that this world has to offer. And we know that based on our earlier examples that we looked at, that faltering of your faith and turning from God, it's certain death. I mean, it's going to be the result. We're told that throughout Scripture, that we have to do a certain thing, and if we don't do those things, we're going to die. And thankfully, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we've been given an option. We've been given the way out. We're told that if we follow God and if we do those things as his son did, then we will have life everlasting. I mean, that's a pretty amazing gift. And it's something that, again, we should not take this lightly. This is something that it's not, you know, by chance that it happens. This is an opportunity that we've been given. And it is solely up to each individual what they're going to do with that opportunity. And we thank God and we thank Jesus every day for the enormous amount of faith that Jesus had and the ability that God has given us to have that same faith. We need to follow Jesus' example with the love and the works and the devotion that he had to his Father and the example that he gave us to live our lives by. And we remember Jesus every Sunday. Hopefully we remember him every day. But we do remember him through the emblems, through the bread and the wine. The life that he gave, because it was his Father's will. It was not the first choice, but it was the only choice that had to be done. He gave up his life so that we can have life. And we should celebrate that every day. That thanks to him, we are here today, and we're doing the things that we do. And I'd like to close with 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 17. And I think these are appropriate words to go out knowing that God does have that never-ending love and that grace for us. Because if it weren't for God's grace, we wouldn't even be here today. And it's verses 13 through 17. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word.